Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tappin, the Arkansas Paranormal Network. Join us as we discuss everything paranormal with host Wayne Inman and co-host Richard the Grizz Haggard and Big Dave. Let's get started. Here's Wayne.
Welcome to Tappin, the Arkansas Paranormal Network, coming to you live from Van Buren, Arkansas. I am your host, Wayne Inman. My co-host is Richard the Grizz Haggard. Hello, Richard.
Hey,
and we also have a another co-host, is Marquez.
Hey, Wayne. Good to be here.
Well, this is kind of a new thing for us tonight. We're just kind of firing things up and seeing how things will run. We're kind of messed up getting on the podcast, so we're putting up a good team to future to have a good podcast going. And now we'll be talking about Bigfoot and UFOs. If we think everybody's sane, thinking that there are aliens, and so. We'll be talking about a little bit about that. But anyway, you can kind of give us a little bit of finding information. We usually have it all up.
Yeah, it's been a little while, so we're kind of scatterbrained tonight.
So, does everybody here, like Marquez, do you think Bigfoots or UFOs are the same?
Yeah, I've seen Bigfoot.
Encounter.
Seriously?
What? I can't hear you.
Which one of you just squished the bullfrog? Man, I wish y'all could see where Quinn is right now. He turned about red can be.
Not today.
Thank you.
Well, you know how things are. We are, like I said, just mainly kind of a test run on the show and seeing if we are getting through. We don't really know if we're getting through or not. I know we got through the phone. If it's going through the phone, then we're getting through.
Ow! Man, I tell you what, I did a number on myself last weekend.
What's that?
Went down to Quartz Crystal Mine near Jesseville, Arkansas, and while carrying a couple of 5-gallon buckets full of dirt back to the car, I stepped on a rock the wrong way. Didn't go all the way down, but boy, I twerked my back good. It's been bugging me ever since.
Really?
Yeah, but the thing about it, I'm looking at going back to the quartz mine here in a couple of months. So, did I learn my lesson?
No.
Yeah.
I
want to
make that trip myself.
Well, if you ever go down there to either one of the mines, I recommend the Ron Coleman mine. $25 a person to dig, but they you can look them up on Facebook, Ron Coleman Mining Company. And they'll show pictures of stuff that's being found. They're finding some awesome stuff in that mine.
I might check that out.
Check something real quick.
Well, if anybody has an experience and wants to tell us about the their experience, they can either go to the chat room, which is up and running, or we can, you can call 914-205-5427.
If I have to, I can flip my mic up to mute it.
Well, you know, it's an experience, and we've done it before. I think we've actually had to separate the guys and do the show separately from different rooms and so.
Well, you know, in the past, when you and I have hosted the show, you've always been here, and I've been across the river.
Right. And you can still do that. It's just, you know, it's just up to you if you want to come to the studio and look out or whatever, you know. That's why
I just kind of thought it would be neat to come hang out down here tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fine here, really.
I mean, you know, it's one thing being on the show and talking with you, but then it's a totally different thing being on the show and sitting right here with you.
Yeah, I used to be in the olden times, we used to have a camera out in front of us. Shooting the table, and then we would broadcast it on Facebook and radio. They couldn't hear what was going on the radio, but they could still hear us talk about what we're talking about on the radio.
That might be a good idea to do again.
And I have to do it again. I have to give me a camera that does that. My camera broke, unfortunately.
So you mentioned talking about UFOs. Have you heard the new moniker they're using now? They're actually trying to get away from the usage of UFO. Now they're calling them UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, or Phenomenon. I was about to say, that sounds too much like I'm trying to sing Menomina.
Yes, I've seen that on Skinwalker Ranch. They call it a UAP. And I couldn't figure out what in the world they call it UAP. And then I figured it out. They're talking about the UFO. And so, yeah, I know the new term, but It's not right.
Ooh, look at that UAP.
Yeah, speaking of UAP. Skinwalker Ranch, I just got caught up on season 2 and 3 of the show, The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
For years, ever since I first heard about the Skinwalker Ranch legend, I've wanted to go out there. But with a bunch of the stuff they've been experiencing in the first 3 seasons of Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, with this new defibrillator device I've got, I don't know if I should even get within 100 miles of the place. I mean,
your insurance policy updated.
Well, I mean, they're sitting there, they've got unexplainable gamma radiation spikes. They've got unexplainable EMF spikes. They've got a weird radio signal that keeps showing up on the spectrum analyzer. In the 1.6 gigahertz range. And every time they'd go to do an experiment, this strange signal would show up. And then somebody would wind up experiencing either a massive headache, or they would wind up so that gun sick. They had to not just leave the area, but leave the ranch. One guy a couple years ago had opened a cistern well next to one of the old homesteads. He received a dose of gamma radiation so strong it left him with radiation burns on his hand and up on the right side of his face, up over his eyebrow. Since then, there had been at least a dozen people, including himself. They went back, opened that cistern, and had their radiation meters and everything with them. Absolutely no radiation at all coming out of it.
Now that's something truly unexplainable.
They did a couple of aerial tests. One of them, they were in a helicopter. The GPS device they had on board the helicopter said at one point they flew into the mesa and was 60 feet underground. Now, they were flying at an altitude of approximately 3,000 feet AGL, which is roughly 7,000 feet above sea level. The helicopter was equipped with a radar altimeter, and several times it was saying they were only 40 feet off the ground. A few days after that, they went up in a small Cessna. All of the equipment they had on the plane with them malfunctioned. Luckily, the plane's equipment had a record of their flight path. The pilot downloaded it, sent it to them to let them take a look at it. Three quarters of the flight path that they were flying over the property, GPS registered them 62 miles below the surface. And yes, I did say miles, not feet. Miles below the surface, flying in an airplane. So how's that for food for thought?
Well, I'll tell you this, that you hadn't seen the two new episodes that they've got out now, because I've watched them.
No, I haven't seen them yet. They haven't showed up on Discovery Plus yet, and I don't know if they're on YouTube yet.
Well, you're going to find you. It's going to be very interesting when you get that, because I've already seen them, too. Because I've got them streamed. And,
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the spoiler alert thing, but you're going to like it, really. It's cool.
Yeah, you know me.
Because at one, I don't know if you've seen commercials or not of them, the new episodes they have coming up.
Yeah.
The two new episodes, but one of them has got 200 drones flying at one time.
I did see a little clip on YouTube the other night about that, and they had them in a programmed flight pattern. And then all of a sudden, they started deviating, and it looked like something was coming down in between them, making them kind of bow down. And then there was another part where they had took or relaunched them, and they were all in their holding pattern. They had not been given a command to deviate, and one of them all of a sudden just starts flying off in its, on its own. I did see that little quip on YouTube. I can't wait to see the whole show.
To tell you what that is, all that is, you've seen the drones going down. It wasn't, something wasn't going in it. Something disarmed all of them.
Hmm.
And they are falling out of the sky.
Hmm. Man, they just have too many wild and crazy incidents that happen on that property. I mean, the kind of person I am, you know, I guess you could say I'm a paranormal firefighter. You know, most people would see stuff like that and they would run away from it. Not me, man. I'm ready to run towards it. But considering I now have this defibrillator implant in my chest, and the way whatever it is out there likes to mess around with the different devices and everything. I mean, what about the one security guy's Apple iPhone that kept going crazy? Yeah, Mark, it would sit there flipping through apps. It'd turn it off, turn it on, put his passcode in and access it. He could go in and change it and lock it, and it would immediately unlock it.
Hollywood.
Well, thing about it, they actually said something about that. The dude is sitting there holding his phone up like he's like, look at this. And they show it on camera, and his phone, or the screen's just all jumbled up, flipping back and forth through pictures, opening and closing apps like crazy. He could turn it off, it'd turn it right back on and put a passcode in. Yeah. You know, the thing about it with it affecting all of their handheld equipment, even some of their other stuff out there affecting the phones, I'd be afraid to go out there like that with this thing in my chest. Hey, well, they actually had brought a group in called UAPX, and I don't know if you've ever heard about it, but what was it, Rod, 2020, did the Tic Tac incident happened? Yeah, in 2020, the USS Nimitz had an experience or had an incident where they had scrambled some fighter jets, and when the pilots got up there and made visual contact with their target, they said, we don't know what it is. And on all of the video that they had retrieved from the planes for it, for lack of a better term, it looked like they were chasing a white flying Tic Tac through the sky. The guys that have created UAPX were on that ship that day. One of them actually saw the video as it was coming in live and raw from the aircraft. They come out there. They've got a vehicle set up with all types of equipment, computers, weather sensors, cameras, you know, you name it, they've probably got it in this vehicle. They said they had done several different investigations and had never had a problem. Well, they go to launch model rockets up into this airspace above an area out there on a ranch they call the Triangle. They start giving a five countdown. All systems are go. UAPX is up and running, ready to rock and roll. 5, 4, 3, 2, UAPX shuts down. They weren't able to follow that launch. They got everything back up and running again. They prepped for another launch. All systems are go. 5, 4, 3, 2, UAPX goes down again. This happened 3 times. And they could not figure out what it was. Since then, they've done a few other investigations, have not had a lick of problems whatsoever out of their stuff. So something out there wants to be known, but it doesn't want them knowing what it is. I'm sorry, I kind of took over.
You're doing all right. I'm trying to figure out my system is going to crash for that reason.
Oh, goodness.
In my chat, hey, I can't speak anything. There was nothing there.
Well, there hasn't been anybody said anything in the chat.
I know, but I ain't got nothing. I don't have nothing at what you got down there. The guy that says one speaker, one viewer. But I can't type anything.
Hmm.
I don't even have the add-ons on down here. I don't even have those.
Hmm.
Can't make it do anything.
I wonder if it's because I'm logged in with that.
Well, usually it says co-host 1, 2, and 3. I've never had that problem before.
It has been a while since we've been on here, so there is some possibility they could have changed something.
Bad update.
I see where you were.
Yeah, I was able to type in.
And I can't type in at all. Until. Anyway, I don't know. Weird.
Since we're on this subject, we're talking about the lights that they've been saying over Mulberry.
Yeah, I've been wondering about that.
With the lights?
Yeah.
And Elma?
Mm-hmm. They seen them in Mulberry, too.
Alma is always having them. They're going on right now, matter of fact. I haven't heard anything about Mulberry, but I know Mountain Bird has seen them. But they haven't seen them since. They said it looked like a bright kind of purple violet lights, really far off, and they were going. They were just, you know, not an airplane would, you know, just kind of go from point A to point B in 5 seconds. You know, and it'd be 3 miles wide. You know, so they seen them. I couldn't get pictures of them because they were far away. They were traveling so fast they couldn't zoom in on them and take pictures. Another one's in Alma. They see them all the time on the east, southeast of Alma, around the fields and the bottoms, all the time down there. So I can't tell you what they are because I've never seen them. I've only had pictures of them sent to me. And the only thing that they've seen is actually it looks like there's two street lights on one east side and one real bright dot in the middle was not a street light. And that's about the only clear picture that anybody can give me. I've had a guy send that picture in of his head being sunburned and part of his arm being sunburned because he said that was a UFO sunburn.
Well, see, here, I've probably been about a month or so ago now. One of our team members' friends had posted a video on YouTube, or I mean on Facebook, where she and her husband saw some kind of a strange light over in the sky close to where I live. Now, unfortunately, I didn't know about it at the time. Otherwise, I'd have been outside looking for it myself. But in the video, they say it's just kind of hanging in one spot. But they said it was changing colors, and you could actually see the color change in the video. And it almost looked like it was kind of rapidly changing shape or rotating or something. And then about three nights later, a neighbor of mine and I were standing outside talking about that. And she happened to look up and said, "What in the world is that?" And we saw a light going across the sky from about northeast to southwest. And it was just a solid light. There was no strobe to it like you would expect to see from an airplane. It was moving a little faster than an airplane, but slower than what a satellite tracks across the sky. And a couple of times, or it disappeared twice. It disappeared once and reappeared further along its trajectory. We could see it for about 3 seconds, and it disappeared a final time. And both times before it disappeared, it appeared to emit some kind of like sparkles. Or, well, I call them sparkles. It looked kind of like the little shimmer stars you get out of fire or large firework displays. But it was just kind of weird. Whether it was a UFO or what, I don't know. I definitely would classify it as a UAP. Unidentified aerial phenomenon, since we didn't know what it was and that it was up in the air. But yeah, it seems like activity like that is really starting to pick up around here. I mean, heck, we had a new cattle mutilation case here just within the last week or so. Probably about 100 miles from here into Oklahoma, and they had about 7 or 8 more down into Texas at the same time. So,
well, you know, the strange lights and stuff all of a sudden popping up around here. I've tried to get out there to them to where I can see them. I get reports all the time.
I was still getting an echo, and I didn't realize that he wasn't muted. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're welcome. Anyway, I get reports all the time of lights. I try to get out there as much as I can, but usually when I get light recordings and stuff, it's usually about the time I have to be at work or go to work. So, you know, it's hard to do that. I can travel out so far without really being late for work and see, but most of the time I'm still so far away, I won't be able to see unless it's a clear, clear night and they're up high. Most of the time they're down low, treetop high, or they're moving so fast that, you know, we won't be able to see them. So we try to get out there as much as we can with the ARMS team, which is Arkansas Redneck Mystery Solvers. And we try to get out there with the team, and that's why I've been trying to get the team spread out so much. That way I can just say, hey, and then can you go here? Can y'all go there? Whatever. Just go down and look. You know, so that's one of the things I've been trying to get going, you know, but all the time I get most of the reports. It's usually 8:30 to 8:45, almost 9 o'clock, and I got to be at work at 9:30. So, you know, it's hard for me to get around and get gone, you know. Of course, man, for Mark Wiz moving out there in Mount Vernon, you'll be all seeing all kinds of lights.
20 acres.
But those acres are not open, though. They're all got trees.
About half of our property is open.
Yeah. Good luck out there.
Not nice.
You have to start seeing strange stuff out there.
I'm calling y'all.
I'll say, call me first. Get in your car and come over to my place and say, come on, man, we got to go. You know I'll be there.
I'm going to camp out there soon. I may just let y'all come out there just to see.
Well, I hope you guys come out there. We'll come out there and we'll report out to Harry Man.
I got the tent.
I got fishing poles today, so you can go fishing.
That'll work.
Well, everybody, like I said, hopefully this will kind of continue on being a good show in the future. How's that? How does it mean?
It sounded like a weird
your phone.
Actually, our sister group in Michigan's listening to us.
Hello, Michigan.
Tanya's.
Hello, everyone.
Evil one.
That's an evil one, didn't it?
I tell you what, some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, I've got to where I don't pay attention to, because when I sound that again, I'm going to misunderstand it.
I'm country.
I'm sure it said evil one, but I'm, you know, but anyway.
we love you, Mark Wes.
Actually, at least we got the lights on tonight.
That's a story for another time.
I tried to get Tanya to join us tonight by sending her to buy it, but she said she didn't get it. So we're going to have to work on it next time. But anyway.
All right.
Anyway, she got the group up in Michigan called Paranormal Rescue Unit. She's from Michigan. She's the one that keeps saying she's our sister group for up there in Michigan for this group for tag-on. That we're always talking about.
They're the ones that were supposed to try to make it down here last year for Halloween.
Right.
I was so looking forward to that. Hope y'all are able to make it down here sometime, Tanya. I'd love to meet you and your group. I've heard a lot about you from Wayne here. Maybe we can get into some good place and get us a good investigation.
I'd like so much to do one coming down to the TV hospital. So
I tell you what, if we could get a if we could get a night like we had last year with Supernatural Investigation Group from Mississippi for them, they ain't going to want to leave. I mean, out of all of our visits down there, last October was the best one by far. I mean, we had the camera taken off of the tripod, got it on video. We had two little toys in two different locations in the hospital moved. We had disembodied voices all over the place. We went into lockdown, and I was doing the Estes method. One of the girls from the other team was sitting in the lockdown area with me while I was listening to Necrophonic with the noise-canceling earbuds in and stuff. And I heard, "I'm going to get you." And the next thing I know, I hear them screaming so loud I could hear them over my earphones. And I'm like, "What's going on? What's going on?" And she said something had just come up behind her. She was standing in the doorway to one of the rooms. And she said, as soon as I said that, something come up behind her and either whispered or blew into her ear. She said, "Nope, that was good enough for me." But, yeah, I really think they would love the TB hospital.
That's a fine hospital.
They
really investigate.
Yeah, just make sure you can handle going up and down stairways all night long. Because if they're anything like us, they won't be able to sit down for more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, heck, the first time we went down there, how many times did you tell me to sit down and take a break? And I never would. I think I climbed those stairs probably 100 times that night. And even this last time, even though I'm getting to where I can't handle the stairs that much, I still went up and down those stairs at least 20 times. Paid for it for the next week, but I think that's one reason why this year I'm going to have to restrict my trip down there to once. And I'm planning on it being the Halloween trip.
And it would just take you all these times and let's say, take you to a floor and say, "Stay."
Hey, I tell you what, you better give me a good set of concrete slippers if you want me to stay.
They set you up a porta potty and all that.
Just don't forget the hallway down in the basement with all the packages of blown insulation, right, Marquez?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Well, you know, that's Marquez's new spot.
No, I'm not camping down there.
No, that's my new hidey hole.
No.
Marquez almost went through the window. Hey, ooh, what the,
smell like a skunk.
I almost smell like somebody standing outside smoking the funky weed. Oh, man. But, no, don't get us wrong, folks. we take our jobs as paranormal investigators seriously, but you know, when you get a group of people that you work with and you want to build basically a familial relationship with, you've got to incorporate a little bit of fun in there. And if things are kind of dead and not a lot going on, we tend to have a little bit of fun, especially with the night vision, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say somebody forgot that we had night vision cameras set up and he couldn't figure out how we were able to see where he was at.
The lights not good there.
Sorry, I had to get up and shut the door. We had our friendly skunk ran around outside.
Was it a skunk?
Yeah, there's one that runs down here. You can smell him before he even shows up, but there's a real one that runs right down here in town. So, when y'all doing the ghost walk, you have to watch for one. Because he will come out.
Watch for who again?
It was a skunk.
It
wasn't real skunk.
We have a downtown skunk that runs around down there, not every night. He shows up every now and then, but you can usually smell him before he shows up. But it's not too far from when he starts showing up. You smell it and he'll show up.
Yeah. I could smell it there, and yeah, it was pretty daggum strong. At first, I thought maybe somebody was sitting around the corner here smoking it up pretty good with some funky weed.
Well, I did smell that too, but the skunk was... that's why I said you jumped on me. Uh-oh. When I smelled that, I knew better shut the door. You come right in. Your phone dead?
No,
he is phone. Oh, your headphones are dead?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you could come sit over here between us. You can talk loud enough. One of our mics will pick you up.
Yeah, I can hear him just fine when he's talking.
Oh, you can hear me
stick? Yeah.
Okay, then I'm good. I just keep it like this. It's all right. I don't need to hear it in my ears. I can hear y'all.
We'll just call you the man in the back.
I mean, I can turn your phone on. You can talk right through your phone.
I ain't no talking to my phone.
You just can't. I mean, you can hear us talk normal. But.
As long as I'm not making an echo, it'll be all right.
Well, you're making an echo. We all making an echo.
I mean, a bad one, you know.
You are a bad one. What are you doing?
I can't say that. Oh, Lord.
What can we say, Marquez? You make it so easy.
So.
But it's all about this Bigfoot craziness.
I've been hearing a lot of people talking about that way.
Now, see, I tried to put a picture of that Bigfoot print we found in Dover into the chat a while ago, but it just popped up with a link.
Facebook has done so much changing.
Well, I mean, on here.
It
just... showed up as a link to it, and it wasn't even a clickable link. So what's the use of having it where you can put attachments in like that in?
Useless.
I don't know. I can't do nothing in the chat room. I can't even type.
I can't even see the chat room. Thanks, dude. My phone being slow.
see something.
It still don't work. No way to do.
I'm going to see if maybe I can get somebody in that will talk with us, if I can get Facebook Messenger to work. Oh, she just commented on one of my videos. So, come on, YouTube, don't be quiet.
I'm not trying to. I'm trying to get somebody to talk about their little experience about with the aliens and light out there. Really, you know? I got a couple of people. Maybe we can get a couple of people to talk about it.
That says we got two viewers now.
We got two viewers.
You and Mark Webb.
I was afraid of that. I was afraid it was just us two.
You know, I don't know.
Dickgummit.
I still can't get in the chat room. Sure.
Well, I just sent somebody an invite. See if they'll come in or see if they'll start listening and maybe have some questions for us. Wonder if I could get Wayne Inman to join. Oh, wait a minute. You're already here.
Maybe I'll call Marquez, too, at the same time.
Nah, I ain't going to call Marquez. He's too goofy.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. I've sent two or three links to several different people just to, if they come in and won't listen to it. I mean, they can listen. I won't know anything about it.
Let me see. What's the number for him to call in?
I'll be able to.
914-205-5427. Let's see if I can get my friend from Albuquerque to join us and tell us their story.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm still doing some.
Do what?
I was still looking for Bigfoot stuff. So.
Bigfoot
was investigated by the FBI. Here's what they found.
How do you investigate Bigfoot?
How do you investigate paranormal?
I mean the FBI. How is that a federal case? Federal wise.
I'd say, how do you investigate anything? How do you investigate UFOs?
How do you investigate Marquesas? Hey, I might have us a caller here in a moment. If she's able to do it, hang on just a moment. She's getting her kids out of the tub. And when she gets done with that, she'll probably give us a call. This is the young lady that I told you about that lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that I had to get in touch with Pastor Terry because she was having some really crazy stuff going on. But hopefully she'll be with us here in just a few minutes. What size shoe you wear, Marquez?
16. No, I'm joking.
Well, I was going to say, if you
for real, a 13.
I was going to say, if you wear a size 16, then that puts me out of their investigation.
No, I'm about a 13 for real.
Compared to me, you'd be baby foot. I haven't worn a size 13 since I was in 6th and 7th grade.
Lord. You had a big feet then,
dude. I'll tell you what, it is hard for me to find shoes. I feel sorry for these guys that got feet bigger than me.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Well, think about it. That boy, he got all the money in the world. He can afford
them. He can afford the custom feet.
Right. But no, I'm sitting at about a 14. Well, depending on the style and the brand, anywhere from 13.5 to 14.5. But, you know, we had that one report of a Bigfoot sighting here a couple of years ago out towards Alma. And, you know, like we were driving through there the other day, Wayne, and I'd still like to know how the guy saw it from where he said he was at.
Yeah. Traveling down the road.
Oh, hang on just a second. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Ivy. Glad you could join us.
Yes.
We're sitting here tonight. We're trying to get some kinks ironed out in the show, and we're trying to figure out something to talk about, and mm-hmm. I was like, I know somebody that's got a good story to tell.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I hollered at you real quick. I want to introduce you to our listeners and to our host and my other co-host. Wayne, Marquez, listeners, this is Ivy Cuthair. She is a nice young lady that I met on Xbox here a while back, and when she found out I was a paranormal investigator, she's like, oh boy, let me tell you. And she's got a pretty good story to tell. So, Ivy, the floor is yours. Tell us your story.
All right. Well, my whole life I grew up with a lot of weird things happening. Terrified of my grandma's house. There was something completely weird in my my grandma's back room. One day, you know, no one really listened to me, especially, you know, Christian Pentecostal group. They didn't really like to believe in that type of stuff, especially engage in it with little kids. And, you know, growing up, I was just terrified of going to my grandparents' room. I mean, everything. I was terrified of going there, just period. And, you know, when I was younger, I continuously saw things at my grandma's house, told her, look, you know, there's something going on here. I don't know what's going on. And, you know, as a child, adults choose not to engage in that, and they try not to, you know, instigate it or even, you know, give them like the feeling that it's true. So, you know, finally one day when my grandma was in the hospital, my father and I went over to my grandma's house, and we were all sitting on the couch, and, you know, we saw something, and my dog barked at a corner 24/7, but, you know, that's what really got me going when I was little. But as an adult, I've had a lot of weird things happen. And when my husband and I, we are completely open, you know, especially after my father passed away, there was a lot of stuff going on. And when my father passed away, my son was only, you know, about a year old, maybe, maybe a little bit younger than that. And my son was learning how to speak, and he started saying someone was in his corner, and he would play and he would do whatever. And, you know, I sat there and I'm like, okay, you know, I don't doubt for a second that it could be my father, but, you know, at the same time, we don't want to engage with it. So we tried to move him along just in case it was something bad, because at that time we were having a lot of bad things happen. We didn't want my son engaging. So a couple years down the road after my father passes away, you know, my son still continuously says, my son's only met my my dad once. And we were sitting there one day and we were, you know, just kind of playing around, you know, stuff like that. And my child decides, okay, he's going to, you know, do whatever he's going to do. And 2 minutes later, he comes out of his room screaming, and he says, Papa's in my corner. He won't leave me alone. And my son is autistic. He doesn't really speak. But for some reason, he felt like he could, I don't know what gave him the power or energy to, you know, use his words when he barely speaks as is. And, right, you know, he was definitely terrified because, you know, he's never really dealt with that type of stuff, especially he's only three. But we moved into this apartment about 2 years ago, and when we moved in, we were hearing knocking, we were hearing footsteps, you know, stuff like that. I pushed it aside because I got to the point where a medicine man told me, because I'm Native American, told me that my father was here. He was looking out for me. So if I were to hear footsteps, if I were to hear him speak, if I were to, you know, see him, don't be afraid. He's not going to do anything. He's just here to look out for you. So
right. My
intention was, okay.
Huh? I'm not meaning to interrupt you, but we have actually heard that from a lot of people when we've done investigations, where they've been told that there is a family member there present, and that family member is there as a protector.
Yes. And I didn't really know what to think about that either is, you know, when I was told that, you know, there was a lot of being skeptical because everyone's kind of like, you know, medicine men kind of, you know, don't make sense, you know, they're not good people. But one day my husband and I were dealing with a lot of stuff, and when we first moved in here, everything was quiet, and then one day we actually, my husband and I got into a fight, and it was a pretty bad one. He walked out of the house, he went to go somewhere, and 2 minutes after he left, I thought that he actually had come back because I heard his voice. And about 2 minutes later, I heard his voice, and I heard him talking. I couldn't exactly picture what his, or like put together his words. And
right.
two minutes later, after hearing all this whispering, you hear my dad's voice, and my dad screamed, "Stop!" And as I looked and was hearing all of that, I was looking into my TV, and I saw this black figure with red eyes and horns. I couldn't exactly tell what it was, but it was like a cloaked figure, and it scared my son. My daughter was only a couple, you know, days old or weeks old, and we were baffled by what happened. And I even texted my husband. I'm like, "Did you somehow come back?" And he said, "No." He's like, "I went to go do this. I'm not here. If you hear something, let me know." I'm like, "Well, we just heard my dad." And that's when I sent Richard over here, actually, a video of my lights. They were just going crazy after that.
Yeah, I don't know if I've shown you that video yet, Rod, but it was wild. The lights were going crazy. I saw a couple of shadow figures in the video. And I heard a little boy is just standing there looking around like he's watching somebody moving around. Then he gets up and walks over to the light switch. And he can't reach the light switch.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those videos.
But you could audibly hear the light switch clicking. And there was nobody else there, and his poor little hands were still like a foot and a half, 2 foot below the light switch. That was crazy.
I think you showed me that those before.
You showed me I did show it.
You showed me you showed me some kind of videos.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Ivy.
Oh, you're all good. But, yeah, no, my husband, as soon as the lights started flickering, came home, and my husband's not exactly in the best of health, and he was perfectly fine when we moved here, and then all of a sudden his health started deteriorating, and we figured out that he had something completely, it's unexplainable because he was perfectly fine, you know, we moved in here, and we talked to the neighbor, and the neighbor downstairs, he actually told us before we had issues with him that before we moved in, they heard footsteps and they heard banging and they knew no one was up here. Now, we never really thought anything like that because we're like, okay, whatever, you know, like, you know, my dad, when we first moved here, like, he would flip lights on just to tell us he's here. We'd literally sit there and, you know, we're like, okay, Dad, we know you're here. You know, go do what you're going to do. If you're going to watch over us, that's fine. But, you know, and we sat there and we started, you know, just kind of living with the fact that he was here. And when that thing happened, whatever's here, I don't know what it is, you know. And we're trying to get I forgot his name, but we're trying to get one of the investigators that Richard gave us a number
to. Oh, you're talking about Pastor Terry.
Yes, we're trying to get Pastor Terry out here now. I've lost contact with what's her name. I do have her number, though. So I am going to call her because there's have been things escalating again.
We actually got to work on a case with Pastor Terry here just a couple of weeks ago, and he had told us he was getting ready to head out to Bakersfield, California.
Okay.
And they were wanting to try to work it in to where they could come in and stop at y'all's place on the way out there, but unfortunately scheduling just didn't work on it. And how long did he say they were going to be in Bakersfield? What, like 2 or 3 weeks?
2 or 3 weeks, I think, yeah.
And he said as soon as they got done with that, they were going to do their best to get out there to you guys, because we had a pretty interesting and pretty involved case here. I've got a video I'll send to you later on from that case that will make your skin crawl. But he said they're definitely wanting to get out there because of where the kids are involved, which I haven't showed Rod this. Her son woke up with that one morning.
Oh, wow.
Not to mention now, we did what the secretary or the assistant told us to do.
Right.
We did what she told us to do, and she's told us, you know, it's going to fight back. You know, we've gone through the property, and we've prayed, and we've done everything. We've told it you cannot harm us. You have no attachment, and it is still one night, which is why we're in the room with my son, I don't know what my son was talking to, but basically we were out here in the living room. We slept out here for a while because our son was kind of a flight risk. Normal 3-year-old stuff. And one day we were looking at the baby monitor and he started talking randomly and his light turned on. And he went to his corner of the room. We had the window open, just a little crack, so that it was nice because our landlord hadn't turned on the AC yet. And what ended up happening was on the video camera that I was watching him through his little baby monitor, I saw him talking to his corner, and he was just whispering. He goes over to his sister's crib. And he says, Willow, wake up. And I started looking to see what he was going to do. And he said, we got to go out the window to get to Mimi and Papa's house. And I'm like, okay. And then he goes back to whispering in the corner by the window. And my husband just jumped up. We sat there for a minute and he said, is there anything here? Who are you talking to? And he says, my friend. And we're like, okay, well, what's your friend telling you? Well, we got to go outside to Mimi and Papa's house. We got to go through the window. We're on a 2-story building. So whatever it is, it was trying to lure my son to jump out the window on a 2-story building where he would either break his neck or he would get severely injured. And,
yeah,
I remember when you
first messaged me about that.
Yeah. And it freaked me out, and it's like, you know, I'm trying my best to ignore it, and you know, we're not engaging. If it does something, like, it's been every night that we pray, we try to pray before we go to bed, and we pray over the kids, and we put on some Christian music before they go to bed. She said the assistant told us I Love Jesus is the best song to play. So we did that, and every time that we play it, the TV will turn off. Then the lights will do that.
Well, you being Native American, do you ever smudge the apartment?
I'm actually saving up my next paycheck. I'm going to be going and getting some smudge, and I'm going to start smudging the house because whatever – I know I can't necessarily get rid of it, but I know I can protect it as well as possible.
Something you may want to do when you're smudging the house or smudging the apartment, start in the very back, furthest part of the apartment, and any windows in that room, get you some salt, or some table salt works just fine. Before you start, put a line of salt across the windowsill. Then start your smudging, your prayer, whatever you feel you need to do. As you leave that room, put salt across that doorway.
Yeah.
And if you've got like a hall that the rooms are coming off of, go into the next room, salt the window, smudge it going towards the door, and as you come out of the door, put salt down. What the salt does, it is believed that spirits cannot cross salt.
Yeah.
And by putting it at the windows, you block the windows from anything else coming in. Then as you're smudging, you drive it out of the rooms, and when you put salt across the doorway, they can't get past you and go back into that room. But continue doing that through the whole apartment and leave the front door for the very last. And as you're, when you start to sweep that living room, open the front door.
Yeah.
And push them out that door and then put a salt line across that door. Now, here's the thing. When you get done, it's okay if you clean up the salt at the bathroom and the bedroom doors and what have you. Don't clean it up off of the windowsills, and do not clean it up from the doorway. And until things get taken care of, you're going to want to renew that salt across the front door threshold.
Yeah.
Probably at least once a week. Or if y'all happen to walk across it and you see that it's been broken or disturbed, you want to reline it right away. Or go ahead and resmudge and reline it right away.
Yeah.
That way that can kind of help keep the activity down for you until Pastor Terry can get out there. But I just want you to know that I've been sharing your story with everybody on the team here, and we have all been keeping you guys in our thoughts and prayers. We include you in our daily prayers and everything, and we're just hoping for the best for you guys. And like I said, Pastor Terry has told me that when he gets done with their trip out to Bakersfield, which they've had this trip scheduled for quite a while, and like I said, he was hoping he could have a stop off there in Albuquerque and visit with you guys on the way out there, but scheduling just didn't work out for him on that. But he said as soon as he gets done with that, y'all are one of his priority cases because of where the children are involved.
Yeah, because the kids have been being attacked too, and they've been getting bruising. Tuke woke up with a he woke up with another handprint on him, and we don't lay hands on them. Like, we barely spank, and it just, it was across his back, and it was like, I don't know, like Will's getting scratched up, his health's deteriorating even faster. I mean, we've gotten to the point where we can't, you know, I'm waking up with scratching, with rashes, with all of that. And it's like, you know, we've tried everything that we can. Now I am going to be smudging because definitely, especially with what's going on. But it's just, I don't know what the heck.
Can you hold on for just a second?
Yeah.
Talking to me? Hello.
Hey, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Dave. Sorry, we were just on the line with another caller from Albuquerque, New Mexico. What's going on, brother?
New Mexico. Wow. Okay. Not a whole lot going on. How are y'all doing?
Hanging in there, keeping busy.
Do I have an echo on my side, or are you guys hearing me okay?
Yeah,
we hear you just fine. We're the ones with the echoes tonight.
Okay, just making sure.
By the way, Ivy, this is another friend of ours that has done some work with us. This is Dave Sharp. Dave, we've got my friend Ivy Cuthair on the line from Albuquerque, New Mexico. She was just telling us about some of the stuff that they've been experiencing or she's experienced through her life and some of the current stuff that they've got going on. And it's been bad enough I've referred them to Pastor Terry.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's pretty bad then.
You know, if we're calling Pastor Terry in, it's got to be rough.
Yeah, you know, Terry's the man to handle that sort of thing. He's 100% legit. He knows his stuff, and he doesn't play around either.
That's exactly what I told her, isn't it, Ivy?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, with Terry Fox, it's all about truth. It's all about handling the issue, and he understands that sometimes these things take time as well. So it may not just be a one-time hello. So.
Oh, yeah, and I've been experiencing it for years, and I don't know if it's something here, if it's something that we brought in. I mean, according to my neighbor, it was happening even like a week or two. He said before we moved in, you would hear footsteps, you would hear banging, and it's gotten to the point where, you know, my children, my kid, he woke up one day and he was talking to his corner of his room, and it got to the point where he sat there and was, you know, whispering, and then he walked over to his sister's bed, woke her up and said, "Hey, we got to go out the window so we can go to Mimi and Papa's." And his Mimi, about a week or two, a week or two before that incident actually happened, his Mimi, my adopted mom, she passed away. And, you know, I told him, you know, that Mimi's gone. She's, you know, she's in a better place. She's no longer hurting. And he's adamant, saying that something's telling him he has to go out his window in order to get to his Mimi and Papa's house. And it freaked my dad out, and my dad is not even Christian. He doesn't believe in all this stuff, but he started instantly believing something when I told him his grandchild is wanting to go out his window, and he's speaking to his corner. And I even have a video of him doing it, and I even sent it to my dad, and I'm like, look, he is not speaking to anyone. No one is in his room. He is literally just speaking to a corner, and his sister's in her crib asleep at the time. And I told him, I'm like, look, he's trying to get out this window. He's trying to tell his sister they have to go out, and they have to go off a two-story building to get to your house. I'm like,
how old is
you know, and I told him, he's three.
Fascinating.
Yeah, he's three. He's also autistic, and he is basically, he does not speak. He barely speaks as is. I can barely get him to say words, you know, unless it comes to the basic mama, dada, you know, tablet or, you know, certain foods or something like that. And
well, you
him,
know, I know I'm coming in.
You did.
I know I'm coming in the middle of a conversation.
Did you say he was autistic?
Yes.
Yeah, he's autistic.
I mean, I know I'm coming in the middle of a conversation, but I mean, if you talk to your doctors about this, or
we talked to the doctors, they did say that he seems perfectly normal. They put him on medication. you know, little chewable tablets to help him with his ADHD and stuff when it comes to everything. And they said that he's, even with all the medication and stuff that they put him on, he's still speaking to stuff. He's still saying that something's in his corner. And at first it was his papa, his grandpa, my father. And now it's this figure, it's his friend that won't leave.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it definitely sounds as if it needs to be investigated further. Yeah,
well,
I mean,
here's the thing about it, Dave. I met Ivy and her husband on Xbox. And when she found out that I was a paranormal investigator, she started telling me all of this stuff. And while I'm sitting there talking to them in party chat on Xbox, I could start hearing stuff banging and getting knocked around in the apartment. And her husband got up to go check on the kids, and he come back. He said, "Nah, the kids are in bed where they're supposed to be." And but I could audibly hear the movement and the banging and everything through their headset.
Not to mention when we were speaking, it was breathing on my neck. And I'm pretty sure it was in the mic. I don't know if it was, but
yeah,
it felt like it came in my mic.
I was getting ready to mention that you had said something was breathing on you. And I could actually hear, sounded like somebody sitting there blowing into the microphone.
What you're talking about and what I'm hearing right now sounds strangely familiar to some of the cases that we have been involved in, both that I've been a part of with Tag Hawk, but also with our own group that I have. It sounds... I don't know why it is this way, but our team, my team, seems to always find ourselves in a situation where we're not necessarily dealing with spirits, but entities. And there is a difference. And, you know, with spirits, we're talking human spirits. With entities, we're talking about things that were never alive. And when you're dealing with things like that, these things don't care whether or not you know that they are there or not. Matter of fact, most of the time, they want you to know that they're there.
Not meaning to interrupt you, Dave, but Ivy, what's going on with Took?
He's acting out. We're having a hard time getting him to handle everything, you know, like random, you know, like a simple put your toys away, stuff like that, go to bed. He'll sit there and he'll yell at us. He's starting to get to the point where he's hitting, he's biting, he's smacking, he's self-harming. And it's gotten to the point where we've talked to his doctor. We did tell her about certain things. She did end up calling CPS thinking that we were crazy. We went through a bunch of tests and stuff. And we both found out that we're perfectly normal. We're not schizophrenic. We don't have any issues with our mental health or anything like that that's making this go into a psycho episode or whatever.
Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but that could all be influential behavior from whatever is there.
And that's the concern. That's the concern. I mean, you know, we're talking from the knowledge of what we have learned with paranormal investigating all these years. Me being a good example of a 100% skeptic to now being a 100% believer and taking all of these claims and reports seriously because I've seen stuff that is completely unexplainable and unbelievable.
It's
so once you cross that path, you have to also look at not just the scientific side of it, but you have to also look at what if something like this is going on and in fact the child is being influenced by something. And that's where the concern is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why we want to
question?
Bring someone like Terry.
Sure. Go ahead, Ivy.
would this influence him? So I haven't really told a lot of people, especially because we just got done dealing with CYFD and stuff like that. My son is playing with knives. He is going and finding knives, and he is stabbing stuff.
That could be influential.
Yeah, because he never played with knives. He never played with knives. We keep everything on top of the fridge, and he will somehow end up with one of those big, you know, like butcher knife type things, and, you know, he'll go around, he'll stab stuff. He's tried to stab his sister with it.
Do y'all have surveillance cameras around the house?
We're getting surveillance cameras due to the situations that have been going on.
That's one thing I would be curious to how he's doing it. So surveillance cameras would take care of that.
Yeah. But, yeah, that is influential behavior. And if you ask me, it sounds like it's either testing him or preparing him for something worse.
Yeah, and I got so scared when I started seeing him mess with knives that I have literally gone out my last paycheck, and I have gone to no breakable, no nothing type dishes. I've gone to paper plates. I've gone to plastic bowls. I've even gone and, you know, taking all the knives out of my home because of what he's been doing. I went and got plastic forks and knives and stuff like that because, you know, he's never done this. And it terrified his father and I because it's like he was such a happy kid. Yeah, he has a little bit of a communication barrier. And, you know, we have a lot of issues with getting him to do the simple, you know, go to bed, stuff like that. We get a tantrum here and there, but he punched his sister in the nose. I mean, he's headbutt us, he's bit us, he's grabbed knives, he's chased everyone with them. We've had to, you know, detain him. We've had to, you know, sit there and hold him and take the knife out of his hand because he is getting worse and worse.
And, you know, the thing about it, I've worked with a lot of autistic people, and in general, autistic people are usually have a very good demeanor about them. Only time they really act up is whenever something deviates from their normal. Now, you know, autistic people have to have a very structured life and environment. And anytime something is out of whack, even as simple as an ink pen not being in the right place, they can lose it until it is corrected. But hearing that he's doing all of that, it scares me.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know what to do. The thing that I
think probably want to say for anybody else that may be listening as well, you know, none of us are doctors, obviously, and being autistic is something that, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of experience in. What I do know is that you know your child better than anyone else.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, you also would know the difference between what is normal behavior for his autisticness and what is not, and what requires a doctor and what requires something else.
Yeah.
So I think really that's what you need to discuss. If Terry takes on this case, you know, that's something you need to discuss with him, what the difference is and what concerns you that could possibly be paranormal versus what may just be medical.
Right.
Yeah, because all of his doctors seem to think that we're going crazy over here. And my biggest concern was, you know, it wasn't just, you know, my kids acting out and stuff like that. And I even, you know, told everyone, like, look, you know, I was sitting here one day after a big fight, and all of a sudden it's just from me and my husband fighting to him leaving, and 2 seconds later, maybe a few minutes later, you know, I hear him coughing, and then my father, which I know is here because I've seen him, I've felt him, you know, and he's even, you know, in that instance, there was some whispering, and I couldn't even tell what it was, but it sounded like my husband. And my husband wasn't home, and I even checked his Live 360, you know, because that's what we have to, you know, kind of see where we're at in case something happens, an emergency or something. And now that we have iPhones, I can check on him. But, you know, for me to hear my father scream stop and to leave them alone made no sense to me as to why any of this would be happening. And, you know, the medicine man even told me, you know, he's here, my father's here to protect me. But, you know, and the medicine man, I don't know if I really said this on air yet or not, but when one day when we were dealing with this thing, after I heard my dad, you know, yell stop and stuff, my dad apparently told this medicine man that something bad was going to happen. And we were at the mall, and we're walking on foot because we didn't have our car. And all of a sudden, you know, we didn't listen to what he said. And he said, you know, don't go out. Something's going to happen. This thing is going to attack. I'm like, okay, well, we need really to go get something. We needed diapers. We needed bath stuff for my kids. And 2 minutes later, after getting to the crosswalk, we were sitting there, and my son put his feet down. He was an umbrella stroller and stopped us from walking. If we would have been in that crosswalk, we would have gotten hit by a car that actually, you know, and it might have just been a coincidence, but, you know, that's what we were told was what was going to happen, was an accident was going to happen. Whether we got hurt or not, if we would have been in that crosswalk, we were going to get hit.
You know, my wife is here, and she's kind of listening along. She's like my Lorraine Warren here, counterpart to me. She's not that good, but, you know. But she did bring up a good question to ask. Is your son different when he is away from the home?
Definitely. When before, my son was in love with getting attention, and they said that he was really high functioning with his autism. And when we got here, when we got here, there was a change. He stopped wanting hugs. He stopped wanting kisses. He doesn't want us to touch him. And when we're out and about, you know, going to the mall or going to the park, he's, you know, daddy, play with me, or, you know, giving us hugs, giving us kisses, all of that.
You ever had any problems in the home before? I mean, how long have y'all lived there?
So
they've been there about
2 years. Yeah.
Has it started the moment you guys moved in, or?
It started, we noticed little things. We noticed, you know, footsteps randomly, feeling like we're being watched, stuff like that. Nothing too serious that we were acting on, you know, letting it be. And everything was perfectly fine for at least a month. And then once the month happened, when we lived here, we got my husband's diagnosis. He has a rare disease right now. It randomly popped out of nowhere. He was perfectly fine and eating. He stopped eating. He started, you know, everything started being, was starting to deteriorate the second that we moved in here, at least a month after we moved in. And it got to the point where my husband's losing 10, 20 pounds every month. And he's almost to the point where he can't stand, he can't walk. I have to get him a wheelchair because of how bad this is getting. He's not eating. We've seen his doctor, and his doctor says his everything's fine. But when we get home, he's in pain. He's not eating. He's constantly throwing up. She's just being here. And we're trying to move, but we don't have the funds. And at the same time, I was also told by the guy who told me about the accident that even if we did move, if it is an entity, they can follow and attach itself.
Yeah, I honestly think when you guys get to where you can, if y'all can move out of there, do it. Because you did say that the neighbors had said that apartment had been empty for quite a while, and during that time they could hear footsteps and noises and stuff coming from inside that apartment.
Yeah, and we found out from the neighbor that someone had killed themselves in here.
Well, it's a good possibility that whatever it is attached to that apartment.
I was thinking to ask you, do you know what they did? Did they have any activity, like did any kind of worshiping or anything like that inside the apartment? Do you know the background on it?
We found out that there's a possibility of they said something about there was a lot of people here 24/7. The history is pretty – it's not necessarily all, like, stuff that I can really explain, but basically they said there's drugs, there was shootings, there was a lot of people in and out of this apartment before we came here. They said that they actually didn't find the guy who killed himself for a month. They said that he had hung himself in the closet, which is where we hear a lot of the issue. We've had someone tell us that there was an old, I don't know if it's true, but we were told that it was old Indian burial ground or reservation or something like that. But at the same time, my landlord says that he knows nothing of the property.
Some states don't have to disclose that stuff, so.
Well, the landlords, they usually, unless they're really, really honest, they won't tell you that if they're buried on a graveyard or not. I know a bunch of them don't, so.
I just know that there's a lot of bad history here. I mean, we live in the, which could be a pretty big thing, too. We live in the war zone or the ghetto, where you want to call it. So there's shootings here, well, in this area at least, every night. There's constant, you know, negativity and drugs. Our neighbor downstairs is on heroin and meth. I mean, he's threatened my husband. He's threatened my kids. It's a lot of negative energy over here, whether it's, you know, physical or not.
Yeah. And it sounds like it, too. I mean, I'm telling what people below you, around you, and all that, bringing in their places, and it's coming over to y'all's place. But it could happen that way, too, so.
Yeah.
Do you agree,
and
Dave?
The other issue is we have everything.
Well, you know, it sounds, this all sounds like a perfect opportunity for someone who knows what they're doing to come in and investigate. There's definitely a lot of things that that are interesting from a paranormal investigator's point of view that would lead them to want to investigate and spend some time trying to verify these reports, not only so you would know that other people are experiencing, but also give you a peace of mind knowing that as well, and try to find some way to get rid of it. Do you know of anybody, Wayne, in that area in New Mexico there that is a good paranormal team that's legit?
I don't know anybody in Mexico, no. New Mexico.
I mean, we've even gone
to
all
the We could do research and stuff and find some, somebody.
Yeah.
But I don't know any personally right off bat. Not until Terry comes down anyway,
I don't need to sit there and put on...
Anyway, yeah, we'll have to do some research and stuff like this if there's anything.
Yeah, I mean, we document everything that we encounter. If the kids get scratches, we take pictures. We send them over to Richard right away, especially with what's been going on. You know, we send videos of what we have. I was surprised that I still had the video of the lights situation, because I don't even remember taking the video, to be honest. I know I took the video once, but I don't remember if it was in that scenario or if it was a different scenario, but I took the video and I sat there and, you know, I looked through my videos because my mom just passed away, so we were going through some stuff with my little sister trying to put the service together, and when I came across that video and we were on with Richard, I sat there, I'm like, okay, if this doesn't show what we were going through, especially on that day that I heard my dad and what I thought was my husband talking and, you know, fighting, I sat there and, you know, I sent him the video and I'm like, you know, this is crazy. Like, for me, it sounds like it's crazy, and some people outside perspectives would think I'm crazy, and you know, it's just, I don't know how to explain it. It was just baffling.
Get in here now. Well, yeah, it's, I don't know. Dave, you got anything?
It's one of those situations where everything sounds like it's a breeding ground for the investigation. Some things are definitely red flags. And I think you know, we could talk to a blue in the face about it, but something needs to be started to try to kind of help his family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's trying to get Terry to get an opportunity to come down there, or find a paranormal investigating group that's legit and knows what they're doing to come and visit with them and investigate their apartment.
You know,
just find some way to help.
Well, Terry did tell me that he is trying to find a team around their area that he feels comfortable with going in and trying to do an investigation and see what they come up with. But he said if not, he will definitely be getting out there as soon as he can. I mean, heck, if we had private jets, Ivy, you know, we'd have been out there 3 weeks ago.
I mean, yeah, definitely. And,
we've always wanted,
you know,
we're
working with it.
But we've always wanted to go to New Mexico, haven't we, Wayne?
You know something, Ivy, something else you can do, you can also be proactive and just do a Google search of paranormal groups in your area as well. And talk to a few of them. Mind if there may be one that's, that you feel comfortable with by talking to them, that they don't sound like they're a bunch of wackos, or, you know, that they have some experience and have worked hard at trying to do things correctly. You know, that's the big thing.
Yeah.
You know, you have paranormal investigators, and then you have ghost hunters. And they're two different things. One's trying to do it for entertainment. The other one's trying to do it to help, you know. So you need to find paranormal investigators that are trying to find the root cause and try to help the family and fix it.
I hate this door. I don't know why it gets stuck. There we go. Yeah, I've been looking up paranormal investigators just because I know ghost hunters and stuff are kind of like you know, some of them are legit. Some of them want to, you know, just take your money and video and stuff like that and do what they're going to do and make entertainment. We've been trying to look into everything. We've called a few churches. The church told us that they don't – one of the churches told us that they don't believe in any spirits or paranormal except for the Holy Ghost. That literally was one of the churches told us.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
And honestly,
and
I grew up...
I'm not trying to get off on a different tangent, but it always gets me how they can't or they won't or don't want to believe in spirits and ghosts and paranormal stuff. But yet they've got their beliefs.
Yeah. And that was our biggest thing was I grew up, like, in Colorado. It's a big ghost town. Everyone believes in, Durango has a few what they call haunted or entity-ridden rooms and stuff like that out there. But they also never got rid of the original buildings. They're all originally from, half the fights that were there, the shootings back then. And it's an old, country town. And half of them out there, the Catholic churches especially, were always willing to, when my mom got bad medicines and stuff, they were up and ready to come in, bless the house, bless us, get some holy water, try and get everything taken care of. And out here they were just, oh, well, you're crazy. We believe in the Holy Ghost. We don't deal with that. You're going to have to find someone who believes in that. I'm like, okay, well, I originally grew up on the thought that Catholic places, especially churches, believed in that.
Well, Ivy, you have a difference between, I can tell you a little bit about that because I was in the ministry at one point. One thing that's important to recognize is that there's Christians and then there's fundamental Christians. And fundamental Christian sects, those particular churches are very strict on what their belief system is. And if it's something other than the Holy Ghost, Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, the God, Father, and the Holy Spirit, then you're talking about something that is not something that's basically taught. So, some of them may actually go to the point where they believe in evil spirits and things of that nature. But things like this, you got to watch out for fundamental churches. Those are the ones that aren't going to go any further than what their belief system is, and that's the way it is, and they're not going to stray from that one way or the other. You've got to find somebody who's a Christian who understands that God does, it's not only God exists, but also evil exists, and that we have to deal with that, and we have to combat that. There's a battle going on that we can't see every single day all around us. All right, so
yeah,
you got to have someone who understands that. It's like Terry. That Terry understands that, and that's the reason why he's out there on the battlefield doing God's work and trying to help us with that situation.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. It's for somebody who has no experience in experiencing anything paranormal, all this is a bunch of hogwash. All right, but once you've lived it, once you have seen it and understood it and believe it, then everything has changed for you. Your whole entire outlook on life has changed. And that's the kind of mm-hmm. people you need on your side right now, is people who've seen the difference between natural, explainable things and holy crap, what the hell was that? Okay, that makes no sense at all. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you have somebody who's never experienced this sort of thing, they're not going to be able to help. Except to tell you you're crazy. So
yeah, and that was my biggest thing was, and I understand some people don't believe, and I'm not one of those people who are like, okay, yeah, God, or if there's God, there's whatever spirits, entities, stuff like that. And I did talk to one person, but they're in Texas, and I don't know if this is an accurate, but what he thinks it is after seeing some of the videos and stuff like that, which he won't come out here though, but he even sat there and was like, he thought at first, and I don't know if it's an accurate assumption or, whatever you guys would call it, but he said he thinks it's a mimic or something. It was mimicking my husband, and I'm not sure if that's the true deal of a mimic or if it's, I don't even know what a mimic is, but that's what he thinks it is. It's an entity that's mimicking certain things.
Well,
it's
strange you say that mimic thing, because my store that we have is actually called the Mimic, and the reason it's called the Mimic is because it mimics everything around it. So
okay.
the mimic is a true entity or whatever, because that's where I've got the name from, is actually from the the entities' names and stuff that I search for like echoes and stuff like that, is the mimic is just another thing of a ghost that, or a spirit that mimics anything that's around it to get its attention.
And yeah, there's actually a location that we have gone to recently called the Haunted Hill Manor. It's in Texas, as a matter of fact, that has an entity in there that does that sort of thing. And we found that out because several times throughout our investigation, we would think we were hearing other team members talking, and actually it was like disembodied voices or something mimicking our own voices. You know,
yeah,
something was trying to mimic my voice,
on.
And something was trying to mimic Ryan's voice, and it was just really, really weird.
Yeah, and that was the thing was with us, because we explained to him, you know, the incident where I had heard who I thought was my husband, but, you know, he was 10 minutes out maybe, you know, once we got our vehicle, he was going to donate, and I heard what I thought was him, and I even texted him, and I looked at his location, and I'm like, okay, did you somehow come back? Did you, you know, leave your, did you leave your phone somewhere? What's going on? Because I heard your voice. But what the guy in Texas tried to tell me was, which he says that it's a he thinks it's a mimic, but what he doesn't think is a mimic would show itself as a black hooded figure. Now, I don't know, he's told me that, you know, a mimic can do all sorts of things, and that was the biggest thing was he also said, you know, other things could play into that, you know. He thinks a possible skinwalker and mimic is what his assumptions are.
I'll tell you what, between the three of us that are talking to you right now, we've all done well over 100 investigations, well over that, and with that being said, I think you guys would agree with me on this, that one thing you cannot do as a paranormal investigator is put a limit on what something that is paranormal can or cannot do.
Oh, excuse me. That is definitely true, because we've sat here and I don't know how many times we've gone in on investigations and we think, ain't nothing going to happen, you know, and stuff like that. And then we wind up getting our minds blown. Our first trip to Haunted Hill House, Dave. Good. What happened with me there, I don't know where all of that came from. All I know is it was coming out of my mouth, but in my mind, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what in the heck are you doing? And, of course, you know, Gina piped up, honey, what the hell are you doing? And it was like I was standing up in a balcony looking at myself down on a stage while all of that was going on, and it's like, wait a minute. And, you know, I left the house. I walked outside, and I went down the street. Interesting thing about that, though, you know, Jack Osborne and Katrina Weidman had been in there just a couple, 3 months before us, and they had their show on the series Portals to Hell. I had not watched that show prior to us going down there because I didn't want any kind of influence. A couple of weeks after we got back, I finally broke down and watched the show. In the show, Katrina wound up having these severe urges of anger or waves of anger and stuff. And she said at one point she wanted to knock Jack out.
Well,
and she had to leave
the
started, house. And the
you get started on the haunted. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say the interesting thing about it, the area I went to when I walked out of the house was the exact same area that she went to before she started feeling better and calming down, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Well, you know, you talk about the Haunted Hill House. Of course, you know, that's one of the reasons, too, why Wayne wanted to call in. Of course, you know, we just got through coming back from the Haunted Hill House because of all the new evidence that's happened out there in the last year and a half. You know, now they've apparently got some new entities and some new reports of all kinds of just unbelievable things. And, of course, being the skeptic that we are as a team, we had to go back and investigate again because we caught some amazing, unbelievable stuff the first time we went. I won't say much about it just because it's not come out yet, but I will say this. The new film comes out May 13th. It's called Haunted Nation, The Haunted Hill House, New Evidence. And it's, like I said, going to be released Saturday, May 13th. And I will say this. There's definitely a reason why the rating of the house as far as how haunted it was elevated to one of the most haunted houses in the world now. There are definitely new entities there, definitely new hauntings there, and what we experienced was even more life-changing than the first time we went and did the investigation there. So
I look forward to hearing from it. Sorry, I hate to cut you off, but we are down to 4 minutes left in the show.
Less than that.
And I wanted to let Ivy know that I did a quick search. I did find a couple of paranormal groups that do have active websites stuff out
okay.
of a list that I found that says they are located there in Albuquerque, and I sent you links to their websites.
Okay.
So if it comes down to it, you could probably or you could try getting a hold of them and seeing if they might be able to come out and maybe give you a better idea of what's going on there or whatever before Terry gets out or he gets a chance
okay.
to get out there. Do what one?
They said 90 seconds.
No, yours is saying 90 seconds?
1 minute and 15 seconds.
Oh, wow. Man, we're sitting here side by side. Wayne's showing 1 minute and 15 seconds. I'm showing 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
You got a minute left, 60 seconds. So I want to thank everybody for calling in. And Dave, I'll try to get you on earlier sometime. Ivy, I'm glad you called in and shared this story to us. But I hate to say everything, but we are got 45 seconds, so we'll see everybody on the next show, which we're planning on doing during the middle of the week. And so we should have 2 more shows. And I want to thank everybody for showing up. This is Tappin', the Arkansas Paranormal Network. See y'all next time. See everybody later.